Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio once again Mayor Edna DeVries, Mayor of the City of Palmer. Welcome.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure.
So one of the things we were looking at, I have been looking at, I'll say that, is the changes that have occurred in government processes, et cetera, over time. The reason why I bring it up, because I know that you've had a long career.
Uh-huh.
You have served, most interestingly, now here as mayor,
uh-huh.
previously in the legislature,
uh-huh.
previously in the borough as mayor.
Right.
And you have a perspective over time that probably is unique. I don't know of anyone right now. There isn't anyone like you. And we're all individual and unique,
right.
but really you have a very special quality because you have been in those positions. And I wanted to kick off before we get into maybe the details of some things in Palmer, your observation about government process, the way things are happening now, because there seems to be so much attention paid to what I would sum up is as a difficulty for people to talk to one another and come up with solutions to issues such as the budget.
Right.
Any overall observations at the present time?
Yeah. I think, of course, any time in the governing body is looking at budgeting, you always have a lot of give and take because you know, it goes sort of back to one man's trash is another man's treasure. So,
sure.
You know, line 52 means a lot to me, but it doesn't mean anything to the person sitting to my right,
right.
You know, on
right.
the budget. And just standing back and hopefully allowing everyone just to have their input and then just sifting it down because we all have to deal with budgets balancing, and so the bottom line has to come out. And the process now, I think, has changed so much because the data is so much more readily available. You know, with a couple of keystrokes on a computer, you can pull up the last 5 to 10 years to know how much account X has changed, where, you know, 30 years ago when we were dealing with it at the borough, we would have had to ask for that figure. People would have had to have, you know, 10 key calculators and big ledger sheets to go back and try to do that. And it wouldn't have been impossible, but it would have been very time consuming and probably not worth the effort.
Right.
But right now, you know, I mean, people say, well, maybe we should go back to, you know, what we were funding in budget on the state level 3 years ago or 5 years ago. Well, with a couple keystrokes, you can pull that up. And so that's the biggest thing, I think. I know on the local level, I think what we are trying to do at the city council level for the city of Palmer is to be just as visual as we can be and open regarding what's going on, being sure all of our meetings are advertised, to be sure that we're out there in the public talking to people, just like, you know, this option that you give us, you know, for feedback, not only to your station, but to us personally regarding what people see and what more they want. And of course, as you know, you are a part of us by broadcasting our meeting, most of our meetings, probably
right.
99% of our meetings. So,
right.
So I think that the openness, I think, is one of the processes that I see, and the accessibility to data, and to be able to answer questions much more quickly.
My observations of the city of Palmer over the years that the city has remained a little bit like it has been over the years in a commitment to the completion of a budget, perhaps because of the somewhat unique situation where the budget is defined and finished by in December
mm-hmm,
for the next
right.
year.
Right.
While bodies such as the legislature and the school district and
mm-hmm.
borough assembly
right.
are working in to be done by the 1st of July to make sure they're
right.
ready to go. And because those three bodies are intertwined, they are
right.
connected.
Uh-huh.
The city of Palmer obviously has in the past and probably will have a connection in terms of funding from the borough and the state. But I have a sense, just observing most recently, mm-hmm. that the commitment of the city council, mayor, everyone, is to come up with a balanced budget and be done.
Right.
I know that even at a national level these days, we're talking about a continuing resolution because there hasn't been a budget settled at that level in a long time.
Right, that's true.
And when we talk about openness, I'm having trouble getting information, for example, in a special session at the legislature about who is talking to whom and what are they saying.
Right.
When you were in the legislature, I know we ask these kind of questions. Knowing that you're not there now, so you don't have the intimacy that once had.
Right.
How did things work? Were you able, I mean, because there were different parties and so on. But was it different?
Well, at the time when I served, I served as a Republican. Jay Curtula, longtime senator, done many things for our community, as you know. We were both senators from the same area. He was a Democrat, I was a Republican, but our offices, especially on the budget, worked very closely. We had constituents from Valdez, Cordova, Nikiski, Seward, and of course, at that time, all of the Mat-Su Borough.
Right.
Mat-Su Borough was not divided amongst different senators and House members. So our offices worked very closely on that. On other issues, we didn't always seem eye to eye because of our, you know, just our political leanings, I believe. But as far as the budget, I think, you know, we just compared with the fact that, and most of the municipalities at that time were on one accord regarding what they wanted. So there wasn't as much, I didn't think. And of course, at that time, that was just prior to the very first low oil prices that we had had in the state ever. Money wasn't necessarily tight. Now, the term after I was, then when I wasn't serving, that's when the oil dropped to $10 a barrel, $8 a barrel or something like that. And
I remember all of that.
You just come here or barely come here.
1980.
Yeah, right. You were just getting yourself settled into Palmer.
Well, I was 78 in Nome and then 80 here in the Valley. But I think you can't emphasize enough the difference, and I think you've rightly pointed to it, of what happens when you have high oil prices and low oil prices.
Right.
Whether you're Tony Knowles or anyone else, they have really strong memories of the difference when that happened.
Right.
Well, let's leave that for, because actually, I don't know that we can say much about what's happening today, since unlike perhaps the transparency that I see both in the city as well as the school district and to a degree the borough assembly, there seems to be fog in Juneau. I'm not sure why, but I think it's important to say it's foggy there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's for sure.
Moving on, let's come back to the city of Palmer itself. Okay. And I had someone recently ask me a question that dealt with where does Palmer end, the city boundaries? And I've looked at the maps, and we can see the boundaries, and they're laid out, and they're colorful, and it's very nice. But we also know, because there have been a number of issues recently that have, and they keep coming up from time to time, fire service outside of the city.
Sure.
That's one. Whatever cooperative arrangements, the police department responding, the police just stop at the border and go no further. How's that work? And fortunately, we've had conversations with police chief, the fire chief, and so on. And also the one that had come up recently had to do with water that's provided to many places, starting with the hospital, some subdivisions, potentially in the future Colony schools.
Right.
And who gets to say how that works? Is it the city that has responsibility for ensuring hookups because it's in the borough? Does the borough have that? How does the borough and the city work together on something like that?
Okay. Well, we have what we call a water service district or area that's recognized by the state. And that goes all the way out to the Four Corners, just past the creek that's there by Four Corners. What is that? Is that? I can't remember.
It might
that's
be,
whatever creek that is, that's right. Where it goes. And so years ago, say like 15 years ago, in order to have either water or sewer, city water or sewer, you had to annex into the city. Then there was, and I'm not quite sure what year it was, sometime in the 2000s, when the subdivision started into the south of Palmer.
Okay.
There was apparently an agreement between the subdivider and the city of Palmer and to extend water out there without it being annexed into the city. Mm. And then after that followed with the new hospital being built. And so we're within our water and sewer district, but we're outside the bounds. And the borough doesn't have anything to do with that. We have subdivision agreements, and the hospital has a special agreement with us regarding delivering the services. Okay. But go ahead, sir.
That's interesting. Even though the lines go through the borough, uh-huh. The borough doesn't really deal with it at all.
Yeah. I think maybe, let's see, in Talkeetna and Garden Terrace, is that the two areas where the borough has some water districts?
I know Talkeetna for sure.
Right. And then I think Garden Terrace, which is a subdivision that has a community well system off of Fairview Loop, right off of the parks. And so that's the only two areas that I know of. But yeah, the borough doesn't have anything to do with it at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've saved somewhat for later the interesting question, the T word, taxes,
mm-hmm.
in particular, because the borough assembly has been working to find a way to provide a couple of things. One, as I've heard it at assembly meetings, relief to property owners.
Right.
So real estate taxes aren't the only source of revenue for the borough.
Mm-hmm.
And in the present time, perhaps a bit more money from the borough to the school district,
mm-hmm.
which is under considerable pressure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And to do this in something of a fair way that will spread the burden of any taxes around. And,
mm-hmm.
of course, the sales tax idea has been out there from time to time. It seems to be a somewhat more serious, and yet there are obvious, interesting questions, both looking in two directions,
mm-hmm.
for the cities that already have a sales tax.
Right, right.
And toward the state, because possibly there's a move for a statewide sales tax.
Yeah, that undercurrent you were talking in the fog you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I think there might be some movement inside that if we could see the fog regarding the sales tax.
And then, of course, there's the other thing. Half the population of the state is in Anchorage. Anchorage
right.
doesn't have a sales tax.
That's right.
So how do you come up with everybody having a sales tax, perhaps dividing up the monies for cities, et cetera?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Since you've had a long history through the years, what's your sense about sales tax and how the city would deal with that? Or if there were a sales tax, what would be the best form from the city standpoint?
Okay. Well, I think it is, the sales tax is a big concern to the city, as you said, both the city of Wasilla, city of Houston, and the city of Palmer, as well as areas in the Kenai and in Juneau. I don't know for sure about Fairbanks, but anyway, for us locally, an additional sales tax would be a concern, say, like on the borough level.
Right.
Say it was, you know, I've heard rates for the education, you know, either 1%, 2%, 3%. So, and as you know, a large portion of our people commute into Anchorage. So if we added another 2% or 3% sales tax to, say, the grocery bill or buying gasoline, Would they more likely stay after work, go on their lunch hour or something, do more shopping in Anchorage where there still wouldn't be a sales tax? That would be if we would implement something just on our borough level by the borough assembly.
Right.
Now, if they did a state one, we'd almost probably be even, you know, say they did an additional 3% statewide,
right,
then we would just still be the same proportion as we are now.
Sure.
Because Anchorage would have a 3%. The one concern we, as the city had, regarding a statewide sales tax is that in the bills that have been proposed is that they would like to collect all of the sales tax. Then we would have to pay an administration fee in order to get that money back. And, of course, that would, depending on what that would be, how long a time that would transmit. Right now, people pay their sales tax the following month.
Right.
But if it would have to go to Juneau or Anchorage through the State Department, maybe it would be 60 days or 45 days or maybe even 90 days before the city of Palmer would get that money. So that, of course, would affect our cash flow that we presently have right now, as well as what would the administrative fee. And then now, see, we have the right to audit or examine or go out and even casually discuss with, you know, somebody or be sure that a new business that, you know, right now when a new business gets a business license, they're instructed on the sales tax. So would we continue to still do that then? Or would the state want to have that first interaction with the new business to explain the state sales tax, which would, of course, include our 3%? So there's some of those kind of things that we as a city are a little bit leery of, because I guess we're just used to being independent and Palmer and wanting to do it ourselves.
So I know that there's one other tax which would not seem to affect the city in a similar way, and that's a head tax for education that I think Senator Click Bishop has suggested.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But at this present time, as best I can tell, the idea of the sales tax is out there, but we really don't have a good handle on whether that would flow. And of course, will affect the borough and the city and everyone. So we'll stay tuned for that piece.
Yeah, right. See if that does develop into anything, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So what is coming up next, which is a happy time in particular, because it looks as if it's going to be very warm today and tomorrow, is, of course, Colony Days.
Yes. Yeah. Exciting times.
I started reading the list of things starting at 7 a.m. for registration at the golf course, and I covered pretty well Friday, but Saturday's got an even longer list, and then on to Sunday.
Yes.
It looks like the weather's going to cooperate. Colony Days has been a very, very popular thing in the past.
It has.
Do you remember a first Colony Day or an early one way back when? I'm a blur in my
mind. Yeah, I don't. I guess I should take and do a little bit of history on that. I honestly don't. I can remember back in the 70s, maybe this was before you came, when we had the Glottolunker Parade.
Oh, right.
And but whether that was tied to Colony Days or whether that was tied to the Fair Parade, I'm sorry. I don't remember that.
I'm with you. I've been here certainly long enough to have witnessed many, many Colony Days.
Mm-hmm.
It feels almost like Thanksgiving or Halloween. Of course, it just happens.
Yeah, so, it's a holiday that comes along. Yeah,
it makes that happen. Yeah. Well, I've asked a bunch of questions, and you've given some great answers. Mike Malevsky here with Mayor Edna DeVries, Mayor of the City of Palmer. Are there any particular things you'd like to share before we finish up?
Just to follow up a little bit more on colonies, we just invite everybody to come downtown. I was like you today. I was looking at the list, and there's everything from something for kids. If you're a cook, they're cooking rhubarb and salmon. If you like music, there's all kinds of music going on, and of course, the parade. And I believe, from my information, the governor is going to, and Donna are going to be the grand marshals. Now, whether they will be available afterwards for, you know, mingling, I would anticipate that they would. So if people would, you know, want to have some input there or just welcome them to Palmer. So that's the next exciting thing that we have, and we look forward to that. And, of course, the Mat-Su Miners won their first game the other night. So right. Maybe we're on to another championship there. So okay. We're happy about that. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Edna DeVries, for taking the time to come in today.
Thank you for giving me the time. All right. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.